Today's episode is brought to you by Positively Productive Systems, whose mission is to be the antidote to your stress and to provide compassionate productivity resources and coaching that help you heal and achieve. Be sure to check out both free and paid resources at positivelyproductive.com/resources.
Sometimes people assume self-care are those bigger, fancier things like spa days and bubble baths and all of that. And while that can be a part of it, because it does obviously take care of you and re-energize and recharge you, self-care is little things that you can do consistently throughout your entire day to help, again, recharge and re-energize yourself. So it involves everything from the way you sleep, the way you eat, the way you move, the way you connect with others, the way you think about money, the way you dress, the way you decorate your home. All these little things and the way you approach them and incorporate them into your day-to-day life is how you build a self-care practice that doesn't feel like work, that feels effortless, and is seamlessly folded in throughout your entire day.
You're listening to the Positively Living Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Zarotny, founder of Positively Productive Systems, and a coach certified in time and stress management, helping clients make space for what matters most in their lives. Join me each episode and we'll talk about decluttering, stress management, habits, personalized productivity, gratitude, and so much more. I understand the overwhelm of life because I'm a wife, mom to kids and cats, and a former caregiver. I'm here to help you choose what's right for you so you can do less, live more, and breathe easier. Sound good? Let's get to it. Welcome back to the Positively Living Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa, and I'm so grateful you're here with me today. Self-care is not a new topic here, and there's a reason why I care about it and discuss it constantly. When I was a caregiver for my mom who had Alzheimer's, I went through two pregnancies and had a point where I cared for my mom, a toddler, and an infant. It was a time that was so difficult for me and ultimately led to burnout, and it took me years to recover. In truth, I'm still recovering in many ways. When someone asks me, what would you do differently? My answer isn't about how I cared for my family. It's about how I cared for me, or rather didn't. When we care for others, it's common to neglect ourselves in the process. So I'm on a mission to find ways to stop that and to ensure that self-care is as frequent and welcomed for you as coffee is for me. Today's guest, a fellow mom entrepreneur, is helping me with this mission. Daniela Wolf wants to empower women to prioritize themselves on their to-do lists and learn the strategies to make over their daily life. She helps working moms ditch the guilt and overwhelm and create time for self-care every day. As a licensed social worker for 26 years, she focuses on self-care, stress management skills, mindfulness, relationships, parenting, and managing all the chaos of life. So here's the thing. Self-care is not optional. It's essential. And Daniela helps us understand why. She and I discuss what self-care truly is and what it isn't, as well as what it does for us and why we resist it. She also shares easy and effective first steps you can take today to build a strong self-care foundation. We talk about how boundaries can help you find the space to practice these habits, and how grace for ourselves and our practice is a must. One of my favorite takeaways is how Daniela describes the subtlety of self-care results. We can't always see the results of our habits right away. It reminds me of what James Clear says about habits and the stonecutter who strikes a rock 100 times. At the next blow, the rock splits open. But we know it's not that strike that did it. It's all that had come before. As you consider this conversation and the many others we've had here about self-care, may I recommend figuring out first what self-care means to you, what lights you up, energizes you, nourishes you. Head to positivelyproductive.com/joy to download the joy list for free and be sure to message me your takeaways. Welcome, Daniela Wolf, to the Positively Living Podcast. Before we dig into today's topic that I cannot wait to dig into with you because it's so important, Would you please tell us a bit about who you are and who you help and what makes you light up?
Sure. So I'm Daniela Wolf. I am owner of Bestie Life, helping you find the bliss in your busy. I have been a social worker for 26 years. I am a mom of two, and I help busy working moms kind of ditch that overwhelm and guilt that we put on ourselves, manage your time and daily tasks with ease, and have time for fun and self-care every day.
All of that sounds good. Sign me up, please.
I love this topic. That and finding options. I think there are so many possible ways to approach and see and do things. I could talk for hours.
Yeah. And I think that's where you and I probably bonded the most. It's like, there are options. Like, I mean, look, I've got the positively productive thing, right? It's like, what can you do, right? Mm-hmm. What is possible? And innovating and figuring that out, that's what we're going to do today. So we're going to walk away with all kinds of great ideas on what we can do to take better care of ourselves. But before we do that, let's start with this concept of self-care. I feel like we kind of, we say it, but once again, it's a buzzword that I think we think about in a, I don't want to say wrong way, but I think it gets misunderstood a lot. So can you help us demystify self-care, what it is really, and why we have trouble incorporating it?
I think, unfortunately, self-care does get overused a lot in a way that people just start to tone it out. People just kind of gloss over it like, oh, it's that woo-foo-foo self-care thing. And that's not what it is at all. It's part of your daily hygiene. It's part of your daily well-being. And you think of all the other things you do every day to take care of yourself. You brush your teeth, you eat healthy, you wash your face, you do all these other things. This is part of it. This is essential and necessary when it comes to taking care of yourself. And so sometimes people assume self-care are those bigger, fancier things like spa days and bubble baths and all of that. And while that can be a part of it, because it does obviously take care of you and re-energize and recharge you, self-care is little things that you can do consistently throughout your entire day to help, again, recharge and re-energize yourself. So it involves everything from the way you sleep, the way you eat, the way you move, the way you connect with others, the way you think about money, the way you dress, the way you decorate your home, all these little things and the way you approach them and incorporate them into your day-to-day life is how you build a self-care practice that doesn't feel like work, that feels effortless and is seamlessly folded in throughout your entire day. And I don't know if that oversimplified it, but that's really how simple it can be.
And that's the whole point of our conversations here, right? Is to keep it simple and to not be overthinking it. Our brains love to be like, that sounds really difficult. Daniela, don't do that. That sounds so difficult. No. Let's do this instead. And so I do think that when we think of self-care and we think of spa time, and don't get me wrong, I've said this so many times. If anyone wants to count and tell me how many, I will give you a prize. But I've said that, you know, I mean, mani-pedis, you know, or mostly pedis, I love those. They're great. And pampering does have a place.
Absolutely.
Right. And basic care does have a place. But really what we're talking about is that combined effort. That
through lack of effort in some
ways. Right, exactly. And what you're talking about, recharging, re-energizing. And the way that I like to say it is that it's not just the wants, but it's the needs. There are things that we need, and self-care is a need.
Absolutely. Because the whole goal is to prevent burnout. So many people are talking about getting burnt out. And so self-care isn't this extra thing to make you feel good. It's a necessary strategy, skill, and habit to keep you from getting burnt out. And that's what makes it so vital and so important, is not what it's giving you, but what it's also preventing.
You have just explained what happens when we don't prioritize it, is that it puts us in this vulnerable place where we can end up burning out. And especially when we combine that with this hustle culture that I am like on my soapbox about, I'm like, let it go. We do not have to work so hard on any of this, including today. We're talking about the fact that we need the self-care. We want to incorporate it. We don't have to work that hard to get it. We can do this. You're going to help us figure out how. So what happens when we don't prioritize it is we lose energy, we become vulnerable to burnout. So I guess the question would be, why do we resist it?
I think we see it as this extra effort. I think we see it as hard. We see it as, you know, kind of fluffy and not necessary without realizing at a basic level what it gives us and what it provides to us. I think we're looking for that in your face, like, oh, I feel recharged. Oh, I feel refreshed. And it's not, it's more subtle than that, unfortunately. And it's so that makes it sometimes a little bit less tangible, which is why it can be kind of pigeonholed and stereotyped as those bigger getaways and spa days and stuff, because that's where we can physically see, oh, I did this and now I feel that. But the longevity of it, you know, you're not going to feel great a week later from an hour massage, unfortunately. You know, you're not going to have that same benefit. It does wear off over time, which is why you need to keep doing it. It's the consistency. I've used kind of the analogy of like, you can't go to the gym for an hour and think you're going to lose 5 pounds. But if you do something consistently every day, it's those little shifts, those little things where over time you will maintain that benefit. You'll start to see, you know, whether you're going for like toning or losing weight or whatnot, that's a gradual process over time that also can be very hard to measure if you're looking at it on a day by day, hour by hour kind of basis.
You are talking about one of my favorite things, habits, right? And yes. So the challenge we have, and that's a really great way to describe it, is that it is not as tangible and it can take time to see the results or the effects. And, you know, for better or for worse, we live in an instant gratification society and we live in a place where we can often see results immediately with many of the things that we do.
Yeah. And unfortunately, sometimes it's not even the things that we see. It's the things that we don't even realize we're not seeing. So when you have a regular self-care practice, I had this example, like I was teaching my daughter how to drive and she made this fast turn. And it was like, you know, that's where the self-care kicks in of not snapping and overreacting and, you know, having that irrational, stressed out response, but being able to take a breath, keep it calm, you know, and how we respond and react in situations is being managed by that self-care without even realizing it. So we don't always realize that lack of stress, that lack of irritability and anger and frustration is where the self-care is coming in. But unfortunately, we don't see it that way until we're angry and we're snapping and we're irrational. That's when we're like, oh, I need self-care. But we take for granted those times that we've been practicing and we have those benefits.
Right. So those are good red flags. So yeah, when you are noticing that, definitely say, okay, what's next? When people come to me and they're feeling overwhelmed, right? And they're saying, this is not working for me. You know, my first recommendation is tons of self-care. And it feels counterintuitive because I know from the productivity standpoint, there's this worry about, but I got to do more. I have to get it done. I have to focus on the thing. And it doesn't feel like focusing on the self-care side will make a difference, but it so very much does. And to your point about what we don't see, you're talking about the lack of stress, the lack of or reduced frustration, dealing with people better. Also, the other things that are subtle are how we focus better. Also too, when you're walking around and you are not in pain and when your brain is, you know, like the synapses are firing and everything's going well, you don't notice that as much as you do when the things aren't working, right?
Right. And that's when we want that immediate fix as opposed to just really proactively and preventively doing those things. And I know you had mentioned, you know, the habits, that is such a big part of it, and automating certain things, putting them on repeat, getting rid of that decision fatigue. You know, doesn't seem like it's a big deal, but it does move the needle when it comes to then having the free space in your brain to be able to handle those other things. You know, I've talked about Steve Jobs wore a black turtleneck and jeans every day. Some people have the same breakfast. I actually, the day we're recording, I had a post this morning where I talked about growing up, my mom made pasta every Wednesday and Sunday. It was like just a no-brainer and not even realizing, but for her, that was an easy meal planning strategy that she didn't have to think 2 days a week of what we were eating. It was just a done deal. She didn't care about what we liked or anything like that. Like she, you know, and for her, that was a strategy, maybe not even intentionally, to help automate and make those 2 days of the week easier for her.
So true. And that's like such a simple thing. I talk a lot about theming days, and that's something that my clients and I do, right?
Love it.
Yes. And now, until further notice, we're also going to be referring to Monday as Taco Tuesday Eve. Thank you very much. So with that, let's dig into it. Let's start talking about these simple, really, truly easy and effective shifts that we can make. What are these steps that we can take that are going to be easy and effective?
They start very, very basic. I work with clients on just starting very basic when it comes to water and breathing and being conscious and aware in our mindset when it comes to certain things. The intentionality that we can give some of these basic things we take for granted can change the benefits immensely. So whether it's setting a timer several times on your phone throughout your day to remind you to take a water break, because when we're hydrated, there's so many physiological things that just run more smoothly as you grab a quick sip.
Yeah, I just grabbed a quick sip of water. Thank you.
You know, it does make a difference. And then again, during that time, intentionally taking some very thoughtful, deep breaths. You know, they talk about the box breathing, four in, four hold, four out, that type of thing, you know, makes such a difference. And then even to incorporate some other quick mindfulness practices during that. Notice, you know, if the sun's shining outside, do you hear birds, you know, what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you feel. Those little things done for, say, a minute, a couple of times a day can automatically start to move the needle without even realizing it, because you're physiologically taking some time to produce certain positive chemicals, release stress in your body, to hydrate, all these things, which will then, you know, as you do that, you'll notice it'll affect the way you sleep, and the way you sleep can affect how your day goes. There's all these like little things that build on each other. So starting, like I said, just with a timer and some breathing and water, 3 to 4 times a day is an easy and simple way to start.
I love that. That's like 3 super simple, super fast steps.
Even if you're like drinking your coffee, it's still hydrating. It still counts. And smell your coffee, feel the warm mug. You know, my kids laugh at me. It's like the Folgers commercial where I'm like holding my mug and scrunching my shoulders. But that does help me kind of just take a minute and relax them.
You get 1300 bonus points for involving coffee in in this first step. But yeah, what you're talking about in here. Okay. First of all, the box breathing. Thanks for mentioning that. That's one way. But even if you do it as simply as inhaling through your nose, exhaling through your mouth just a little bit longer, and it's quite literally taking a minute. So what you're talking about here, sip of water, take a breath, mindfulness practice, which by the way, what you're also talking about is a gratitude practice too. So you can check that off your list if you've got a list going. A minute, 2 minutes, a few times a day, you're talking about a shift that can be made in 5 minutes a day to start.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing. It's more like grazing as opposed to sitting down for a big meal. You're going to graze throughout the day on these different habits and strategies, you know, and then depending on what area you're looking to incorporate, say it's movement. Movement doesn't have to be an hour at the gym. Movement can be 10 minutes outside. There's 5-minute yoga practices. There's all sorts of little ways to start building on that. Even if it's, you know, if you're at an office, taking an extra lap around the building every time you go to use the restroom is building in that movement and adding your steps and those types of things. You know, so there's so many ways, and that's why I love to create options. I'm like the queen of options. It's my favorite thing to do, to show people, you know, looking at your day as a whole, where can you start to build in these simple little shifts and kind of stack them on themselves so that it is constant throughout your day. You know, the other thing we look at is your time and how are you spending your time throughout the day? You know, we use the Eisenhower Square method to kind of like prioritize what's really important, what's not important, what can you delegate, what can you take off your plate completely. I think we can be consumed by all the things we should do, all those expectations. And that's where a lot of that guilt and overwhelm come in, because we think we should be doing all these different things in order to be a good wife, mom, worker, person, when that's not necessarily the case. And to, again, simplify things will actually free you. Putting those boundaries in place will give you the freedom you need to be able to then keep going forward with this practice.
So the first, of course, that you've mentioned is taking these
really basic steps, hydration and breathing, mindfulness, intentionality. Those are the specifics. But then the other things you're talking about, and again, this should sound so familiar because there's a lot of overlap in what we do, is that you're finding the spaces and the places in your day where you can set this. And so the first thing is you're literally finding a minute or two in your day for this first step. But then the other thing you're talking about, which I absolutely love and we can dig into, is the boundaries for this. But before we do, I want to mention that some of the things you're talking about that are so incredibly effective. You're talking about the concept like Atomic Habits, James Clear, Tiny Habits, BJ Fogg. The fact that these little tiny steps make such a difference, you don't realize it at first, like you said, but eventually it grows. It's the consistency of it that's going to take you there. And it's so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And the people around you will probably start noticing it before you do.
That's a good point because, you know, you're with yourself every day and you're used to things and you see yourself in the mirror every day. And those differences are not always obvious, but hopefully, at least in the beginning, you can feel like a satisfaction about doing it. Mm-hmm. The other thing that you're talking about that's so effective when it comes to habit development is the habit stacking, or what I refer to as anchoring. Like you said, if you're going to take a coffee break, or if you're going to brush your teeth or something that you're already doing consistently, tack on 1 or 2 minutes for these other things, and then you build and grow. It may not always stay to 5 minutes, but the point is you need to start somewhere.
Yeah, there's Pilates coach that I follow online. She showed how you can do like some squats and some toe lifts and pliés while you're brushing your teeth, because you're brushing your teeth for 2 minutes anyway. So you're adding in, you know, she stacks it while you're actually doing those things and multitasking.
Oh my gosh, that's like my effectiveness heaven, where I'm just like, okay, you're doing one thing, so to speak, but you're really doing multiple things. And I do want to make a distinction here. We talk about debunking the myth of multitasking. And what we mean by that are the tasks where it requires very specific focus and brain power, and your brain can't be in two places at once. But the exception to the rule are things like walking and listening to a podcast, or, you know, squatting down while you're brushing your teeth. So like you said, options, there are these opportunities where we can jump in and can achieve a couple of things at once. And I love that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's the point, is sometimes we just need help seeing those things. You know, we get so caught up in our own head and our own day to day, it's hard to see kind of the forest through the trees of what else it could look like. And having an accountability person, having that perspective, having that mirror to help you see what it could look like is, I think, just so powerful and so pivotal in helping to make that change.
Yeah, because the end goal is really what you're looking at. It's like, this is what I'm striving for. This is what I need. This is what I want to incorporate in my life. The ways that you can do that are infinite.
Just to talk about, you know, like we think it's nice to have, but it is so necessary, because we talk about the people we're doing this for. Well, I want to be there for my family. I want to be there for my friends. They see, they mirror, we're modeling for them all these different things, whether it's our kids, our friends, without even realizing it. You know, when I was going through my personal journey and making these changes, I didn't necessarily notice the change myself, but until friends started seeing and asking and almost like copying and sending me posts like, look what I did because of something I heard you say or do. That's where you see that impact. Or when your kids, good or bad, they're going to do what you do, not what you say. And so you need to show them through your actions, those changes that you really want to make.
And the bottom line is, prioritizing yourself doesn't take away from others. If that matters to you, it actually makes it better, because if you are giving, you are the vessel, you know, and you need to take care of you. You touched on boundaries a little bit before, and I wondered if you could speak a bit more to those.
Yeah, boundaries, I think they're so important. Everyone, you know, to back up a step, everyone I know thinks balance is one of those trigger words as well. Like, there's no such thing as balance. Everything can't be equal. I see balance as your ability to adapt, pivot, your resiliency, and your boundaries. And that's where you create that balance, is being able to have preset those expectations through your boundaries. Actually gives everyone around you the freedom and space to know what you're available for, and what's not. I've used this analogy before. If you have a new puppy and you put it on a leash, it can only go within that certain tether. But if you put up a fence in your yard, it can run free, but it's not going to take off and leave you. And so boundaries are like the fence for the puppy. You have the freedom to run within it, but it's not going to tie you down and keep you from having fun. You think about it, even like when you go shopping, if a store didn't have its hours posted, you wouldn't know when you could go and buy something, but stores post their hours and those are their boundaries so that you know when you can show up.
Right. And I would counter that actually it makes the experience that much better because you don't feel the stress and the pressure and the frustration of being like, when will this end? When will I get my break or my turn? Everybody knows this. Everybody's on board. I have to give a shout out to Mallory Jackson from not only the trauma-informed life episode, but the codependency episode. And she says, you know, boundaries are limits of love. We show people with boundaries how to love us. And what I also think, you know, okay, and we're showing ourselves too, how we love ourselves. And that's a big part of self-care too, is that every time you do that, you reinforce this idea that you are worthy of this care as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so definitely that mindset shift is so important to change people's perspective of not only self-care and time management and habits, but boundaries, to see them as a positive, to see them as a benefit for you and everyone else around you. I think people, you know, they talk about like recovering people pleasers because you're so used to saying no because you don't want to set the boundary of disappointing anybody, but you're actually disappointing more people when you take on too much as well as yourself. So boundaries are such a gift that you give to yourself and everyone else.
Well, that's beautiful. I love that. Any other parting thoughts in terms of keeping this easy and effective? I think I love what you said about starting with the basics and practicing that, because again, that creates a habit and it gets you used to the idea. But anything else that we need to think about when we're stepping away and like, okay, all right, I'm on it now. I'm going to do the self-care thing.
Grace would be my last thing, because I think that's the other time thing as well. Like sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves, as opposed to the grace that sometimes we're not going to respond great. Sometimes we are going to have an overwhelming, stressful day, and that's okay. I think by allowing ourselves that grace is part of that self-care, because it's not about perfection. It's about being, you know, just human and experiencing that in the best way possible.
Absolutely. And grace also for our own practice of self-care as we get used to doing it. And then we're like, oh, shoot, I didn't do the water thing or whatever it is. It's just letting it go. That's the whole point of practicing and developing habits, is just keep trying, right?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Okay. Before we get into our fun rapid wrap up, where can we find you online and connect with you about these habits for self-care?
Sure. So my website is bestielife.com. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. So absolutely send me your questions in the DM. I have some free resources that you can download, whether you're looking for some quick and easy 10-minute self-care tips or the overall framework of kind of what I went over in general. But, you know, what does this framework really look like? What are the pieces? I have a freebie that outlines all of that for you. So find me either on social media or on my website.
Fantastic. I'll make sure to have all of those links in the show notes. So you're ready for our rapid wrap up?
Yeah.
Okay. Please fill in the blank. A song that lifts my spirits, makes me dance is?
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, Good Vibrations.
It's like, I love it.
I just can't not move to it.
Marky Mark. Thank you for bringing that name back into my brain. I love it.
I don't even think he likes to be referred to that anymore, but too bad.
Yeah. It's tradition.
You did it.
How about a quote or a mantra that inspires me and that I love to share?
It all works out in the end. And if it's not worked out, it's not the end. You know, sometimes we're in the middle of hard things. We can get stuck there. But if we see that that's just part of the process and that's not where we're going to stay, it can help you keep going forward. And me personally, I use that all the time.
I love that. And I especially love that second part of it, you know, because it all works out in the end is so inspiring. But then say, and if it hasn't worked out, it's not the end. Oh, it's like, just keep going, right? Mm-hmm. Right. How about a resource, a book, an app, something that makes my life better is?
Well, I've two kind of like, so an app that just makes my life easier is my Google Calendar. I love the fact that, you know, I can be driving or walking and get a thought and Siri will put it in my calendar for me because I have the worst short-term memory. Like I forget things walking from here to there, even though I can remember stuff from 1985, like nobody's business.
Marky Mark.
Yeah. So just having, you know, that easy way to keep track of stuff is life-changing for me. And then I love the book Joyful by Ingrid Fattel Lee. She, again, options, you know, she speaks my language when it comes to being able to find joy, whether it's in colors, nature, fabric, textures, like so many different ways. And it's just one of those books that I always find something new.
Okay. I will definitely get a link for that in the show notes as well. And last, but certainly not least, what are you grateful for today, Daniela?
I'm grateful for, I guess, the opportunity to connect with you, with all these amazing people. I have definitely, I think, found that it's just not only what I give, but what I get. I love these connections and collaborations. So I am so grateful for the opportunity to do that.
Oh, as am I. And I'm so grateful for your willingness to come on and share your wisdom and just bring so much value to us. So I want to thank you, Daniela, for shining your light in this world and for sharing it with us today.
Thank you, Lisa. I love our conversations and look forward to continuing them.
Thank you for joining me today. Your time is precious and limited, and I'm honored you chose to spend it with me. If you have feedback, questions, or want to schedule a chat, head to positivelyproductive.com/connect. And if you are looking for any of the resources referenced on the podcast, from books to products to training and more, go to positivelyproductive.com/resources.